I mean, it's sauce.
First of all, council advises that an audio recording of the proceedings of this meeting will be taken and made publicly available on the website, and those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements. And now I acknowledge the country. Let us acknowledge the Wiradjuri people, their elders past and present, traditional custodians of the land we now share. Let us be inspired by the resilience, innovation and perseverance of past generations. Let us honour those who protect this great land. May you draw strength from your God or faith, so that we may here today, on behalf of our community, build a vibrant future together. Apologies and applications for leave of absence by councillors. Mr. General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We have the one apology from Councillor Baker this evening.
Right. Disclosure of interest. Councillors, are we having a disclosure of interest this evening? No. If there are none. Have the minutes there. Can I have a mover to confirm the minutes, please? Right. Councillor Fennell, Councillor Clark. Any discussion, councillors, regarding the minutes or clarification? No. Okay. If there are none, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Declare it carried. Okay. We'll move over to 6.1. Notice of motion, council workshops, Councillor Lord. Councillor Lord, would you like to speak to it?
I move the motion.
I'll second it.
And basically, I'll give up my right to speak initially, but have my right to reply, as I've put explanations in there.
That's fine. Councillor McLean?
Well, firstly, I'm absolutely supportive of this motion. I think it's a wonderful idea, and it should have happened a long time ago. Last night, Councillor Baker rang me and offered his 150% support, he said, for this motion. He said many times he's come into a workshop, and his people have said they're going to take something on notice, and it often doesn't, and he doesn't, no one gets back to him. So if it's during business hours, working hours, that means staff are here and we can get the answers we want. And that to me is the most relevant thing. We're starting out anew with a new general manager. Now I believe a lot of decisions we've made in the past were made in haste without adequate thought behind them. And I can name a few of them. And things have gone on. I've read things on Facebook or in the paper that are happening, and I know nothing about them. There's a disconnect between what the staff know and what we know. If we're here during operational hours, when they are there and we can ask for advice and question them and find out what's going on, I think this is a really good thing. For example, with the community reference group, I missed one of those meetings and a really important decision was made. Now, it was glossed over at a workshop and yet it came up at the council meeting and was approved. Now, no other suggestions or other ideas were... I know my idea possibly would have lost, but no other ideas were canvassed. We went into something without any costing. We just have made hasty decisions, and I hope that this will change. And I think it's a very big imposition on staff to expect them to stay back here, especially staff that have got families and children, to stay back here for our benefit when we are here for the benefit of the people of the community. It's not the other way around. So I hope that there'll be more contact with this. But I'd like to ask a question, Mr. General Manager, what time would you like us to start?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The earlier the better. It depends on how the agenda might evolve. So obviously, based on what I'm seeing at present from the two workshops I've been to, they've been sort of 2 or 3 hours. Over time, those workshops could evolve and need more time. And the ability to have managers at that workshop would be of great benefit to all, whether that's councillors or staff.
Well, so in his notice of motion, councillor autonomy
for earlier.
So he makes a decision on where he would like to go. I would say 3 o'clock might be a fair time. That gives us 2 hours, 2.5 hours with staff, and with availability to access staff. I just think we cannot get too much information. A lot of the time at workshops, we just gloss over, and we're not getting the full picture, because so many times I think we've made a whole lot of decisions that we haven't really thought through, and I've been part of it. I've supported these decisions, and I look back now, and I think, gosh, what am I doing? Did I do the right thing? If this is going to have more information available to us, and that's what I'm here for, to get information, make reasonable and educated decisions, that's why I'm supporting.
Okay, I'll open the floor. Anyone else like to speak to the motion?
I'd like to speak to it.
I do agree with
basically everything that Lisa said. I'm trying to make decisions, so I need clarification on things, or I might need access to somebody, and I do feel exactly the same thing. I'm here for that job. I've made that decision to be here. I block off my Tuesdays. That's what I have to do in my business. I'm prepared to do that.
Okay. Do we have a speaker against the motion?
Yeah, I'll speak against the motion.
Councillor Crowe.
I don't believe it needs a lot more thought, a lot more discussion on the advantages, disadvantages. Councillor McGlynn was speaking about she's made some decisions in the past. We don't make decisions at workshops. We're only there to get the information that's brought to us. So that's up to the General Manager to bring the information to us. It's not up to us to go walking up the hallways and go and source information out of people. That's not our role. How close to operational issues do you want to get as a councillor? That's not our role, to get into the operations of council. Our role is to serve our community, not run the council trucks, etc. For those who work full time, you're going to have people not get to workshops, and therefore you're going to go into a council meeting and you're going to have a lot of discussions on a lot of items that you may have had the information prior, but if you can't get there due to work commitments, you can't get there. I can't personally go and change my Tuesdays now, but with some notice I might be able to do something on that regard. So just to be thrown straight at us at a meeting, no, I'm very much against it.
Do we have another speaker against?
I'm sort of a little bit, but nearly everyone on this council is either self-employed or retired, with the exception of Councillor Crowe, I believe. And as he said, he might have trouble changing his hours to suit. And as for the staff coming to talk to us, I mean, they need time to prepare. I mean, if we just say, you know, shout down the horse, call up whoever, and they really do need to knock, they'll probably just come up here and say, I'll take it under advisement. And then I'll go back and then we'll lose it on the next one. And then the other thing that was said by our general manager was the meetings could start to go longer. They could go 2, 3, 4 hours or whatever. Are we going to keep the staff here to 2, 3, 4 hours until the meeting's finished? Because otherwise the actual premise of that has no basis. You're either going to have to keep them here in case we need them or wish to speak to them. I think a lot more thought has to go into it.
Sorry,
Mr. General Manager.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Councillor, if you finished it.
Sorry.
I wasn't meant to interrupt, I was just flagging.
You did.
Yeah, that's all right.
That was my train of thought. I've sort of finished it now.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the the intention isn't that those staff would be sitting in their office. They would be here at the workshop. There would be agenda items, so you may well have raised an agenda item the week before for us to look into something. Trying to address the, we'll take it on notice. The take it on notice thing will happen at some stage in a council meeting, but this is about trying to be enable perhaps, let's say when we do a quarterly budget review, allow you to discuss that more robustly and some of the things that are part of that in changes to budgets. There might be something where we need to change a budget because something's going to be under by the end of the year, or it might be over, so we modify budgets, or there's a new income item that we have to record. The staff, we can provide opportunities for the staff with regards to working outside of their normal working hours. That's not a problem. It's about trying to find that balance. And the staff, in my mind, are keen to be part of an appropriately run workshop where they can provide you with information and we don't end up with issues later on down the track because of a lack of information.
Councillor Law, would you like to write a reply?
Thank you. Firstly, I take all comments on board. I listen to the arguments for and against. The issue is over the amount of time. The reason I've moved the workshop is 4 p.m. or earlier is to basically not make a big step, but actually to make so it effectively, you know, initially we can start with 4 o'clock and see how it works and whatever else, because staff and that are available. I do believe that, you know, we are one of the few councils, or in fact, one of the only councils that I know that actually have meetings commencing after 5 p.m. You know, most of all the other our neighbouring shires, and I've got, you know, Tamora's at 4, Coolerman 3, Lachlan 2, Forbes 1, Carrathool 10 a.m, Narandra 2 p.m, Hilltops 4:30, Parks 2. Effectively, all of those councils have got their meeting and workshops during business hours, and I've actually seen some of the results of many of that. They do seem to get information and can more robustly debate issues with all the information that's available. But as I've said, is that I just believe that this way we actually can have more productive, more background information and more discussion, and therefore be better informed and basically, and it can improve our due diligence on all of these issues. How many times do we actually come into this meeting having reading our business papers and still need to ask questions? The reason is the workshops are set up so it's actually, if you've got a business paper to ask questions, you can do it and get that information. So I just believe we should be trying at least, rather than say, oh, it's no good, because I'm not convinced 6 o'clock's worked for the last 5 years or so.
Okay. Any other councillors like to make comments? Councillor Keighley?
Part of a reply, that's completely right.
Doing it in office hours might stop a lot of prospective candidates that work regular hours from even nominating. I struggle to get here at 6 o'clock because I have to knock off work at about 4 to go and have a shower and get things packed up. So I'd rather start it at 8 o'clock at night, to be honest, but I know that's ridiculous. But I can see where you're coming from. I'm willing to go along with whatever you come up with. Don't have a strong opinion, but I'm not that bent in any direction, to be honest.
Councillor Clark, would you like to comment?
No. I'm thinking.
Okay. All right. Yeah, from my perspective, I shouldn't be speaking from the chair. However, from my perspective, it will be an impost on me to start early. I'll have to rearrange things such that I can do that. But that's just my personal situation. Anyway, if there's no further discussion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? And can I have a... Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3 against. Do I have a casting vote? I do. Well, that would just lock things up, wouldn't it, really?
No. You actually get 2
votes. Yes. Uh-huh. So it's my decision. Oh, my God. Well, I probably tend to agree with Councillor Crowe that I want a little bit more discussion around times, or perhaps a discussion around a trial before we do this. A trial period to see how it works for everyone.
Does Bruce's vote not count?
No, if you're not present, no.
Well, if you know...
Could he have voted online? with remotely, effectively,
well, you know, another
under new regulations.
You know, another councillor's point of view.
Can we delay it until he's present?
Well, I don't want to go into everyone speaking at once, but we could have an alternate motion to take this to a workshop.
How much
for discussion?
How hard is it to workshop when
you
know really what are you
doing?
God
say,
make a decision. Look, we get paid a stipend. The council is not here for our benefit. We're here for the benefit of the people of West Wyalong and the council. Now, you come on council knowing that you have made a commitment. And if you aren't prepared to do that commitment, now whenever it is, I mean, we have Re-Rock, we have every other... We have Re-Rock, we have mining-related council, we have the mining council out there, we have every other meeting during the day.
We have library meetings, we have conferences, they're all during the day.
Yeah.
So the council's met at 4 o'clock in the past?
Yes, and then let me tell you, when I went on council in 2004, we had town advancement group, town planning groups. We started at 8:30 and finished at about 11:30.
Yeah, council meetings and council workshops traditionally
council
start at what time?
Council workshops started then. And went at no time has a workshop ever made a decision. It's just giving us information. Now, the council is here for the benefit of the people of the Shire, not for your benefit.
Exactly.
Anyway.
You put your hand up to serve the people of your Shire, and everything has been going on, has been 6:30. So you know that you can serve your people.
Workshops have changed over time. We started at 5:30 once. We started at 8:30 in the morning once. Now we're back to 6:30. So this is a... Council meetings have been different, and we're the only Shire that does this.
Can I have just some clarification? We are talking about 4 o'clock starts for workshops only.
All right.
Yes, not council meetings.
Okay, no further discussion. Look, I've made a decision, and the decision is that... I'll agree to the change in workshop time for a period of time, for a 3-month trial. And after that 3 months, we'll decide whether it's beneficial or not.
Right.
And that'll give the councillors here time to work out their schedules and get their heads around the whole idea. And we'll see whether it works or doesn't work. Are you happy with that?
So that is for Christmas, and we'll do something after Christmas about deciding.
Yeah, for the next 3 months, the workshops will be at 4 p.m.
December meeting will have a motion.
Yeah, so for the next 3 months, the workshops will be at 4 p.m. on a trial basis, and then after that, we'll make a decision as to whether they're permanent or whether we revert to the old system. Okay, so So we'll move over to reports to council, section 1, Office of the General Manager, 7.1, the way forward, one organisation. Okay. There's a recommendation there that council provides 2 preferred options to adopt for a single organisation for local government collaboration in the Eastern Riverina region. Now, can you just keep a record of these? I'm going to go around the room and get their opinions. Okay. So I'm going to ask each individual councillor for your option 1 to 4, and then we'll discuss the recommendation from there. So, Councillor Lord, to start with, what are your preferred options out of?
You need to move it.
Oh, I need to move it first.
I'll
need to move it. Seconder. Councillor Moore. Right, Councillor Lord, would you like to give us your preferred options, please?
Well, I can give you a preferred option, provided I don't give up my right to speak when the motion comes.
Well, that's fine, Councillor Lord.
No, you don't.
Basically, my preferred option is one organisation solely, and I have to be honest and say that of the options in the letter at this stage, and then I'm happy to have option basically either basically four, right? Either option four. Or basically option three, if they want to do something, and then we can see how cooperative they become.
Okay, so option three, just to go through those, option three is Rerock is a standalone organisation, the JR is operated by Wagga City Council. Okay, and option four is Rerock as a standalone organisation, the JR goes into hiatus. Okay, so basically...
Sorry, Mr Mayor, can we just confirm that, Councillor Lord, that because you're referring to one organisation, but your preferences are option four.
Option
and then
four
option
first,
three.
Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm that, thank you.
And followed by option three.
Yep.
Monica?
I'll go with that.
Okay. Liz?
One and four.
Jill?
One and four.
Roger?
Four and one.
Four then one.
We've got our first, second preference
now.
Four then one. Rod?
Four then one.
Four then one.
Kerry? Oh, probably one then four.
Okay. Well, it's pretty grand. It's pretty consistent that it's one organisation, right? So it's probably looking like Rerock is the organisation, and it's a matter of whether we keep four or not.
That's correct.
And four, so it looks like... there seems to be more options four, which means that the JO goes into hibernation. Is that where you're reading this?
Mr. Mayor, the way I've captured it is that the overriding preference is for number one is for a for Rerock to be standalone, and then based on the numbers so far, it's a bit of a split between three, four, and one. But we do not have what your thoughts are for that second option. Certainly the first option is definitely for Rerock as a standalone organisation, and the JO goes into hiatus. Mm. But after that, the second preference is a bit of a split at the moment.
Okay, well my options are four and one.
Okay. So based on that, the preference is for the first option, first choice being Rerock as a standalone organisation with the JO going to hiatus, and then that Rerock is standalone and the JO folds. That's
okay.
The second option.
So 4-1.
Correct.
Councillor Lord, do you wish to speak to it?
Yeah, I basically still prefer 4 as my first option with option 3, because effectively, Wagga is not a member of Rerock, and effectively I'm still a great believer that if they want to show some leadership and this is going to give them an opportunity to in actual fact say whether it's a JO, whether we actually can negotiate or what and whatever else, they can still operate their JO. They're going to fund it for 2 years, and after the initial 2 years we still then can decide on future arrangements. We're actually not saying this is not going to work. I just believe that, this way we get our preferences as a standalone organisation, but we can actually see whether there's any future in a JO.
Look, and that, from my opinion, that position's reasonable. However, we've had 3 years, is it 3 years since Wagga left the Rerock organisation? We've had 3 years for Wagga to show us some sign of being a benevolent leader, and it just hasn't. It doesn't seem to be heading in that direction.
I've moved this motion. Could I speak to it?
You may.
Thank you. I agree with one. Actually, I think that we whitewashed completely because they've been anything but cooperative. And if you don't show a sense of cooperation, why should we cooperate with them? Look what they did to the library. Oh, we put a family out of work in West Wylong and they left the town because we were going to go into this Riverina library. What happened? They pull out. And now they want us to pay them money. For God's sake, I wouldn't give them a thing. I would not trust them further than I can look at them. Let us just keep it up. ReRock has done us proud for a long time. I'm not even into putting it into hiatus. But anyway, pretty close. So let's stand on our own two feet and have just one organisation keep Wagga way out of it, because at any time, they're such a volatile council, they could change their mind at the drop of a hat and you wouldn't know where you were.
Roger.
I agree with Lynn. Wagga hasn't shown a great deal of leadership. Mm-hmm. This library thing's been a treat. How backstabbing and horrible they can be. Why would we want to give them a chance to do it all over again?
On a bigger stage.
And that's probably what's going to happen in 2 years' time. They'll say, oh, no, we want money to do this, we want to do that. No, just cut them loose and go back to the standalone.
Would any of the other councillors like to make a comment? Councillor Keith.
We've been toying with this for 3 years and none of us know much about what's going on with this JO. I'm totally confused with it all. If we were to go 2 years and see what Wagga does, we'll be a whole new council by then.
Yeah.
They'll be more confused.
I won't be there. There'll be new councillors. I think I'm going to give notice now that I won't be there in 2 years.
Oh, you will.
And I just think it'll be a whole lot more confusing for new councillors to have to look at this again. So we've been looking at it for a lot of years and I still do not understand it. And I know I mightn't be quite up there when it comes to all this stuff, but I can't see why they're doing. I don't know why we need a JO. I think it's ridiculous.
I'd like to
scrap it.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't think the state government knows why they want to do a JO, so it's hard for us to figure it out if they don't know. Councillor Crowe, would you like to speak to it?
I've always disagreed with the JO. We've seen some developments and things with the ROC. It has worked. But the JO's just added confusion to the whole thing. So for it to disappear would be my vote.
Okay, so if there's no further discussion, I'll put the recommendation that council provide us two preferred options, which are 4, then 1. For a single organisation for local government collaboration in the Eastern Riverina region. So our options, I repeat, are 4 and 1. All those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
I declare it carried. Okay, 7.2, appointment of Director of Technical Services. There's a recommendation there that Council note the appointment of Mr. Ray Graham as Director of Technical Services. Can I have a mover?
Move.
Yeah. Councillor Lord, Councillor McGlynn. Councillor Lord, would you like to speak to her?
I take the panel's recommendation, I take that we're just endorsing that decision.
Councillor McGlynn.
Mr. Graham was a great success at Goldenfield, so I'm looking forward to him starting. When's he starting?
11th of October.
Oh, right, good.
3, Mr. Mayor, 10th of October. Yeah.
Couldn't
tell. We were on to the 11th. And,
yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Just a point. Can I ask? Are we moving back to 3 directors now? We had 3 directors and we've cut it back to 2.
No,
another director?
No.
No, he's because we've lost a director. Will was a director of engineering.
Is this Will's job?
This is Will's job, yeah.
I thought he was director of engineering services. Is it just a different...
Well, it's technical services.
It's technical services.
Yeah.
I thought this was a new role.
We
don't
think
it's
in plain English.
Happy with it. No, so there's only still two directors.
That's fine.
Okay, would any other councillors like to comment on the process? No. Being part of the panel... I felt he was an experienced fellow, and I was also swayed by the fact that he was moving into Blandshire, so he'll be in residence here within the Shire, And I think that that's a great thing for us, because if you're living within the Shire, you have a greater understanding of the Shire's needs and problems. You agree, Mr. General Manager?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That's the general.
Anyway, if there's no further discussion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. Move on to 7.3. Get New South Wales Active Program Funding D. There's a recommendation there that Council endorse the General Manager signing and execution of the Get New South Wales Active Program Funding D for $59,980, excluding GST.
Yeah,
Mr. General Manager, I'd like to speak to this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is simply an information report to ensure that you do get the information about the things that are occurring. This funding came through very shortly after I started, and I've always found it best to get Council's endorsement to these funding deeds occurring, purely for information purposes, that it's out there. You may well have seen the media on it. There has been some a media release. The local member, Steph Cook, she attended council and the mayor and I got a photo opportunity with her after a meeting with her. We got the media thing with the photo and the check, that sort of thing. So,
okay, can I have a mover for the motion?
Yep.
Councillor Crowe, seconded Councillor Moore. Councillor Crowe, would you like to speak to it?
No, anyway, we get funding. No, that's fine.
No,
yeah.
Councillor Moore, would you like to speak to it?
No.
Self-explanatory.
Okay.
Yeah. If there's no further discussion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. Move on to 7.4, Resources for Regions, Round 9. Okay. Is there a recommendation? Okay. There's a recommendation there that Council endorse and submit applications to the New South Wales Government Stronger Country Communities Fund Round 5 program for the following five programs projects totalling $5,285,515. The projects include Council Facility and Access and Audit Plan, $100,000. Amenities Block Upgrades, $214,276. McAllister Oval Amenity Upgrades, $163,794. Main Street Revitalisation Plan, $95,788. Sport and Recreation Master Plan, $107,116. Digital Information and CCTV Project. No, that was... Did I get that wrong?
Yeah.
121.162, and Stormwater Upgrade Program, $350,000, and the Roads Upgrade Program, $4,133,379. So nice to see the money going to roads. Is there eight programs there? There's eight?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that was just a typo there.
Yes.
There's actually eight there.
I know where that typo's come from.
Can I have a mover for the motion, please?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Fennell, Councillor Lord. Councillor Fennell, would you like to speak to it?
Look, this has been identified. All these projects have been identified for quite some time. And I think they've been very, very carefully looked at and selected, and I think it's really quite fair where we can start with some of these. I'm really excited to see the roads upgrade. I mean, that's going to reflect well on us, I think, for our community, to sort of say, well, okay, the majority of this money is going towards roads. So I'm very in favour with the selections made. That the staff have identified. Thank you.
All right,
Councillor Lord. Yes, I'm pleased to see, I reflect the situation. Yes, the roads upgrade program, you know, with the current conditions and everything else, we're going to get further behind and further behind, and this is an opportunity to try at least catch up something, and we're better off doing small amounts and doing them properly, even though we need to patch generally on the roads. The other positive part about all this program is not only does it build our infrastructure and community aspects up, but it also has got a very long or a hidden meaning of planning for the future in there as well. And in this situation with a revitalisation plan and a master plan for sport and rec and ovals and audit facilities and audits of planning for the future, I think is a real positive, and it's something that we should have been doing for years, but we now started to, and that's good.
I think you make a good point. That is that we're investing in our own assets, which is the way it should be.
Yes.
Which is the way it should be. Any further discussion, councillors?
Yeah, I just want to...
Councillor McGlynn.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the General Manager for putting in the master plan. I mean, the roads are absolutely vital, but I think the master plan of where we're going, because we have been doing stuff really all over the shop. We don't plan. It's just, oh, money comes in, wow, then this, without probably, yeah, I've been pushing stuff too, but we really should have a plan to work off. One thing concerned, now, if some of this goes over, for example, I'm on McAllister, so it was 163,794. That's pretty definite. Like if it's $10 over, you're not going to absolutely lose it.
Well, through Mr. Jermaine.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, all of these numbers are based on quotes.
Okay, cool.
Excluding the top one, which we've
really
had
good.
Great difficulty in obtaining a quote, but our gut feel is right.
Yeah.
Based on experience, where something goes over and another thing goes under, you can usually make application to the grants office to adjust the budgets.
It's good. Yeah.
Would any other councillor like to speak to? No. If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. Move over to 7.5, the Stronger Country Communities Fund, round 5. Okay. Recommendation there that Council endorse and submit applications to the New South Wales Government Stronger Country Communities Fund, round 5 program, for the following 5 programs projects, totalling $894,780. The Youth Officer Program, $152,192. The Blandshire Heritage Revitalisation, $104,713. The Douglas DC3 Dakota Rehabilitation, $167,670. The Active Movement Upgrades, $162,888. The Shire Town Village Entry Statements, which I think is very important, $307,317. Can I have a mover?
Yeah.
Councillor Moore, Councillor Lord. Councillor Moore, would you like to speak to it?
As you said, particularly the Shire Town entry statements. Bircher has a better entry statement than West Wylam.
Really?
Yeah.
Disgraceful.
That's got a lovely big, lovely sign going in.
Absolutely.
And also the differentiation between Wylam and West Wylam. We get so many people get confused with that one. So we need to have.
Yeah, good comment. Councillor Lord.
Basically, I think, as I said, I support all this again because it's come up through workshops. The question I've got of the 400,000 by community, effectively by that has been allocated for allocated to community groups, effectively, that I know they don't come through council at the moment, but and effectively they're submitted directly, and I gather there's been an emphasis on sporting groups according to the application.
That was on the website, mainly for sporting situations.
My concern is that if, for example, there is per chance there's an application when they close, there's still money funding over in the in this. Do we, as a Shire, lose those funds, or do we basically are able to reallocate them to other projects?
Mr. Gentleman.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That's a very good question, Councillor Lord. We could only ask the question if that circumstance was to occur, if that situation was to occur. Let's say they're undersubscribed, perhaps government will provide us with that greater allocation.
They will, because there's an election in March.
Councillor
Gwynne.
The question, Councillor.
there is no guidance on that.
But we should know this after the 23rd, which is Friday.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I wouldn't suggest it'll be from then, because government, the grants office will be processing many, many grant applications. I would suggest it would take some time before anything came back out to us on that.
Any further discussion from councillors?
I'm very pleased to see that the Blandshire Heritage Revitalisation Program is going ahead. That is really a worthwhile thing. It's maintaining what we've got.
Yeah, which is good.
Yes.
Which is great. Okay, any further comments, councillors? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Declare it carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to pick up a minor error in item or report 7.4. It actually refers to, the recommendation refers to Stronger Country Communities Fund, whereas it actually should say Resources for Regions Round 9. So just a typo, which we all would already picked up here.
Okay, very good. So we'll move over to Section 2, Corporate and Community Services, 7.6, Finance and Investment Report for August 2022. There's a recommendation there. That Council receive and note the information contained within the Finance and Investment Report for the month of August 2022, and the Council confirms the payment of accounts for the period 1 August to 31 August 2022, as summarised in the account summary totaling $4,082,396.93. Can I have a mover?
Yeah, I can move.
Councillor
that.
Lord, Councillor Moore, Councillor Lord.
Just basically, that's all pretty good, and the figures do add up. It's self-explanatory. The one question I probably do ask, what's probably a little bit later in there. It's in the rates report. You know, this is. This effectively is the rates report. I assume that means that's the 31st of August and not the 31st of July, as print got in the minutes.
It would be
31st of August. Where? Under the. Through Miss Mayor, just above the recommendation.
Just above the recommendation. The rates report, rates received the 31st of July. I'm assuming that's because 25, it was a rates on the 31st of August. I'm assuming it's an August figure.
It is August.
Thank
you. Right in there.
Right. Any further discussion, councillors, regarding the finance report? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Clear, okay. Move on to 7.7, endorsement of draft policies. There's a recommendation there. One, Council endorses the draft confidentiality policy, draft fraud control plan, and draft borrowing policy, and places on public exhibition for a period of 28 days from Friday, the 23rd of September 2022, for community comment. Two, should there be any comment from the community on the draft confidentiality policy, draft fraud control plan, and draft borrowing policy, a further report be prepared and presented to Council. And three, should there be no comment from the community within the 42-day commentary period, Council formally adopt the draft confidentiality policy, draft fraud control plan, and draft borrowing policy. Can I have a mover? Councillor Moore, Councillor Fennell. Councillor Moore.
It's just basic Council SOP.
Yeah.
Standard operating procedure, yeah. There shouldn't be any too much.
Councillor Fennell, any comment?
I'm in agreement.
Okay. There's no further discussion, councillors. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. Where are we now? Which page?
Page 73.
73. Really? Section 3, Technical Services. 7.8, Endorsement of Draft Sporting Field Closure Policy. There's a recommendation there that, one, Council endorses the Draft Sporting Field Closure Policy, and places on public exhibition for a period of 28 days from Friday, the 23rd of September 2022, for community comment. Should there be any comment from the community on the draft policy, a further report be prepared and presented to Council. And three, should there be no comment from the community within the 42-day commentary period, Council formally adopt the policy. Can I have a mover, please?
I'll move that.
Councillor McGinn, second to Councillor Crowe. Councillor McGlynn.
I think it's a really sensible policy, and I can't see one area. The council is one responsible for these facilities. I really don't see the input from the public is all that important, quite honest. We are responsible for Crown Land under recreational use, and I would say we haven't had a problem before, so I trust that they will clean it up, and it should be the way it is.
Councillor Crowe.
Just on that one, would be good to see if we do get any comments, because we quite often get a lot of comments when we close grounds because we think it's going to rain,
okay,
as opposed to when it has rained.
Okay.
And I understand why you do it, because it chops them up.
Mm-hmm.
Because some organisations actually pay quite significant amounts of money to use these facilities, and 101 ground in particular was closed for half the year. So, and I got to get a bit of angst from people regarding it. So, I'm hoping they put their two bob's worth in.
Fair comment. Yep. Any further comments from the councillors? No. If there's none, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
No.
Yep. I declare it carried. Okay. Move over to page 7.9, DA 202/0014, 99 Main Street, West Wyalong. There's a recommendation there that council consent to DA/0214 for the change of use from a commercial building to residential development and associated internal alteration subject to the recommended conditions of development consent. Can I have a mover? Councillor Fennell, seconder. Councillor Moore, Councillor Fennell, would you like to speak to it?
I think it's really good to see. I mean, it is an interesting building. I think it sort of sold it with me when it sort of said that there was that possibility if things didn't work out downstairs for them, it could revert back to its previous function or appearance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good to keep these buildings occupied, keep them maintained, and if someone's prepared to do it. I appreciate the fact that the facade is not going to change, and I mean, that's a heritage appearance. I'm in agreement with this.
Yeah, good policy.
Councillor Moore?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think council needs to start demonstrating that it's, especially with the new housing strategy, etc., that we're willing to change and allow different things to happen and things to flow. A building on the main street that gets converted into a commercial, a residential, would be certainly a way
in that direction.
Of people seeing council doing something about the housing situation and that sort of thing.
Very good. Is there any, are there any councillors like to speak against the?
I don't want to spell on a question.
Okay, Councillor Lord, you may ask a question.
The question I have is the fact that, you know, when I agree with what you're saying, whether it can be later left, but and if there's growth within the community, you know, then we need more business space or more business premises. Have we got a condition or anything in the B2 planning that would allow it to go back at all? Or because effectively what happens, just for example, there's a massive influx of business and all of a sudden we've got to look at creating a new business centre. If
yeah, that would be good, yeah.
You know.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. This is one of the reasons why this came to council for a decision. It could have been decided under delegated authority, but being mindful of the issues that have occurred in the past with regards to the change of use in the main street, it was felt appropriate that it be brought to you for that decision. Based on the advice I've had, the experience is that they don't tend to revert back, which is unfortunate, and you do have to protect the character of the main street. If everything was to convert to residential in the main street, then we've got a real problem.
You lose it. You lose it.
Yeah, well,
as a future business.
It's very, very hard to recover, to bring it back.
Yeah.
But market conditions could drive that.
Yeah.
That puts a bit of a different light on it, though.
I understand what you're saying. I just wanted to ask the question.
And
okay, Councillor McLean, would you like to speak to me?
Yeah, all of this mix of commercial, residentials, all within the rules and whatever, is it? Yeah, honestly, or it wouldn't be here.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It is completely compliant and could have been decided upon by staff under what we call delegated authority. But their concern based on previous changes like this.
Well, it is residential one part.
We should bring it to you for that decision.
Yeah.
Well, they're not changing the facade of it. I mean, it's not going to change the look of the
building. One at a time.
And it's much better that a building's occupied than not occupied, I mean, obviously.
I'm not object to any of it.
Councillor Moore, you have the floor.
If the facade's not changing, it's not going to change the look of the main street.
No.
And I don't see the main street turning into a residential area. I mean, it's just not.
Well, I've got a question on this.
Yeah.
If we got in a situation where there was demand for more business premises, they would could bring a DA back to us, and we could allow that. We'd have to go through the DA process again to convert it back to a commercial premises? What would happen? What would be the procedure?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I actually don't think you would. It wouldn't have to come back to council because it's zoned appropriately. The zoning allows for both type of use. And we've simply provided you with that opportunity to, so that you've got a conscious awareness of that change.
So we're not making a decision. The reason I say that is I'm not making a decision that will stop it from being reversed if there is, you know, need for it to be reversed.
That's correct.
Can I write a reply?
Councillor, yes, Councillor.
Just thinking about the facade of that, and it is rather grand. The gates have been there forever, that type of thing. I would like to see that maintained. I mean, aesthetically, I'd like to see it maintained as much as possible as that same type of building, rather than having a pot plant here or a pot plant there or a kid's toy here or a grocery bag chucked here or something. I would like to think that it should be respectfully maintained.
That's part of the consent process. Could we?
Yeah, that's great idea.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I would honestly have to take that on notice because I'm not sure whether we could put that as a condition of consent. We could certainly try and inform the owner and try and direct them to if there's some appropriate funding they might be able to use to do some work to the facade.
Well, I think it's the point that Councillor Mills making. Yeah, I think is that she doesn't want it decorated with the front at the Main Street decorated with, you know, pot plants and other things that are more akin to a residence rather than to a commercial building. Mm. So she'd like the integrity of the
exactly.
front of the building to be maintained.
I totally agree. The other question I've got is, as it's going to be looking at a residential thing and they're talking for, you know, a couple of units, six bedrooms or whatever else, my comment is what are the parking arrangements from the back lane for the number of vehicles?
That's true. They own that car park. That's part of the...
Yeah, they own that car park, that's right. Yeah,
so I'm not saying that they own it, but what I'm saying, what's the provision for parking?
Mr. Dillman.
Yeah, you've got businesses that...
I mean, my argument is the provision should be for the number of residents.
Take on those.
There is...
But they own the car park,
why
wouldn't they use it for themselves?
Right.
Because it's got a lease on it.
Who's
leasing
it? The council?
Yeah,
I think so.
No,
it's a double garage.
I'm informed there's two garages at the back. Is that correct, Councillor Wall? Yeah.
I believe so, yeah. I've got some furniture
on
and they sold
it
all. So, yeah.
Oh,
I
wonder what
you
saw.
This is the old Findex, not the new one.
No.
Yeah.
The old Findex.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. Okay, that's
all right. So, has parking been, looked at in this circumstance?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, looking through the report, yes, there is. And one of the considerations was the number of car parking spaces required. New car parks are sufficient in number and design to provide appropriately for the needs of new development.
That's what I said, I couldn't find any number.
Apparently it's been considered satisfactory.
It's considered satisfactory.
There's a backyard, so they could use that.
Yeah.
So
okay.
You've got a bit of off-street parking. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Taking
up all right, if there's no further discussion...
I don't believe we can turn around and tell owners of a building what they can and can't, like hang pot plants or things like that. It'd be like telling someone that you've got to mow your lawn when you're building a new house. You just can't impose that type of...
On a heritage building, you can
probably. On them.
On a heritage
building? Well, on a heritage building, they wouldn't be able to go and knock it down and put a new one there.
Well, there would be.
Councillor
Crowe, you'd actually. I mean, there'd be the normal. You can't. There's a footpath in place there.
Yeah.
So you can't place things on a footpath without council permission.
And
that alone is going to deal with a lot of those sorts of issues.
We can't. I don't believe we can go and impose restrictions on that. It's just something that you just let the owners.
We can place restrictions.
Let them know that. Keep an eye.
Well, I've got to put a DA out to put an A-frame.
That's right.
DA.
That's correct. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't use the footpath.
No,
put anything
no,
inappropriate
on
the footpath.
They're going to use the footpath, but they're going to hang a pot plant off something that's
back
inside.
Yeah,
we're
saying that you can't say
what
the requirements are.
Yeah.
Right. Any further discussion? Any further discussion, councillors? Councillor Keighley, you've got your hand up. No.
No.
Just exercising.
A little bit's done. No, that's fine.
Okay. Very good. No further comments, councillors, regarding this DA. If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, and I'd like to record this, and so I want the hands. I want to see the hands.
What is the motion, please?
That council
consent
to
it.
Well, can I have, so I'll put the motion, all those in favour?
Aye.
2, 3, 4, 5, it's unanimous. It's unanimous, okay, very good. Okay, can we record it? It was recorded unanimously. Okay. Where do we go?
Page 101, get to the reports of information.
Okay. Right, section 4, reports of information. Can I have a mover to adopt these reports, please, before we start?
No, I'll move it.
Councillor McGlynn, Councillor Moore. Right, we'll move through them one by one. 7.10, Economic Development and Tourism Report, September 2022.
Yeah.
Well,
congratulations,
Shaw
and
Hungary.
They both were great.
Fabulous. Yeah. Councillor Keating is involved in that.
Thank you.
So, when it comes to the land development, we're just putting DAE subdivision or something out there?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I have been in consultation with a consultant to prepare a development application for us, and we'll start providing the information to them to commence that work shortly.
Any further questions? Thanks very much for coming.
Okay,
so you've talked about land development. Councillor Lord, your question's been answered?
Yep.
Okay. Right, any further comments, councillors, regarding the economic development report?
It's part of the tourism one, isn't it, that one? Next one, sorry.
Same report.
Yeah,
same report. Look at the tourism. I totally agree with what you're doing there. But you know, with hopefully the new highway tourism and brochures getting it revitalised, it'd be worth just contacting them and seeing what's going on with the new highway brochures and whether we should do anything.
Fair comment. We can do that.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm in discussion with our tourism officer with regards to the new highway task force subcommittee, promotion subcommittee.
Right. Okay, there's no further comments, Councilman, on the 7.11 Community Services Report.
I was just going to say about the Hungary 150-year. That was a very, very good day. If the weather had been better, it would have been that much better. But I think congratulations should go out to all involved organising the day.
Absolutely.
It was a brilliant, it was a really good day.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, congratulations, Councillor Keatley.
Thank you. No, I'm very happy with the way it turned out. Thank you.
If there's no further comments, we'll move over to 7.11 Community Services Report. So this, we have the Hungary 150 celebrations there again.
Yeah. Had a barbecue. They had a barbecue. I believe the school children were absolutely thrilled about the mock council. They loved it.
No, that's good.
Yeah, Brian.
Lots of questions. The general manager was a big hit.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it was an entertaining afternoon. Would you agree?
It was.
The other thing I've got is beats on the bank. I've got a question mark. Have we got a risk assessment on that because of watering being, you know, essentially.
If you can't swim.
You know, we're looking at, you know, kayaking, food, beverages and everything, the music, you know, we're just looking at...
We'll have to take that on notice, Councillor Lord. I'm sure he's looked at it, David. He would have looked at it, I think, but we'll take that on notice, look into that, make sure that the risk assessment's made.
Because it's not going to stop raining between now and then.
No. Any further comments, councillors?
Melbourne Cup, Melbourne Cup, looks like they're very busy down there at the moment.
Looks good.
Very industrious
looks
down
good.
There.
Looks good.
The weather holds.
Yeah,
well, it's supposed to rain tomorrow, so
it's supposed to rain tonight.
Shut it down, actually. Unfortunately,
I think I asked about the weather resistance of the function today, and I was assured that we should be okay. And if there's a complete disaster, we'll move into the White Tank Hotel.
The marquee's on the block, isn't
it? It's on the road, it's adjacent to the tank.
That's all right. Yeah.
Not much room in the white tank.
The block went out full of water.
We should be all right. Okay, there's no further comments. We'll move on to 7.12, Blandshire Library Monthly Update.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
They never stop.
They don't, do they? They
they're
do a fantastic job.
And keep on giving.
No comments, councillors? No. The Blanchard Library now has an Instagram account. Mm.
That's
very good.
That's
stupid.
More stuff. Okay, no comments? No? All right. We'll move over to 7.13, Children's Services August update.
Very busy.
Any questions for Director Berlin?
Can I put something on the agenda for a workshop when it comes to that, that we actually at the workshop discuss possibilities and future developments when it comes to putting trainees, basically cadetships or whatever else
absolutely.
On as a long-term project
absolutely.
Situation to
yeah.
try to encourage
yeah.
employment and local training?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Get them
into
the hospital.
Okay. Director Berlin has an update on vacation care for us.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to advise councillors, the school vacation, the school out of school hours care won't be starting until term four. And as a result of that, they were not in a position to do vacation care again these upcoming school holidays. It will be offered at Children's Services, but only for the first week of the school holidays. There's some issues around staffing and having enough staff to be able to run the service. So I just wanted to let you know, I know there have been questions in the past about vacation care. So
very good.
It's not a service for which we are funded. It's done to support the community.
Any other questions, councillors, regarding vacation care or any other issues in child services?
Just wondering whether, you know, the same thing is, or family daycare, whether we've got enough carers and things like that for the future, because there's this demand and we've got new childcare, early learning centres or childcare centres establishing. Is family daycare still going to become viable for us?
We don't have any, do we, in Wales?
Well,
we do. There's currently one provider who I believe is going to be working at the new daycare.
That's
centre.
Why I'm asking the question.
So it'll be none.
Which leaves us with one family daycare provider.
After that person works, there'll be one left.
Oh. And there are four in, I believe, in Tamora that are managed through our service. The funding for family daycare runs through until 2024, and we will need to assess the situation we get to that.
Is there
so we need to get to that early, yeah.
Is there still more demand for daycare after the new centre goes through?
There would be for long daycare. The demand for preschool is still relatively high. The challenge, as is the case in every early learning facility across the nation, is having qualified staff because the changes to the requirements that were implemented a few years back.
And paying them appropriately too.
Yes.
Is
the new daycare centre, that has to provide preschool facility for 4-year-olds?
Early learning centre.
It's an early... A long daycare facility operates on a different model to a preschool facility. I've not been to the centre. I can only assume that they would have... traditionally, long daycare facilities has a baby room, which requires one carer for every three children. They would have a toddler room, which I'm not 100% sure of the ratios, but they would also have a preschool room.
Mm.
How they structure that preschool room, given that the children are there for a long period of time, not a preschool hours. Preschool hours are set to be similar to
school
hours, so that it prepares the children to make that step to.
But to that registration, there have to be certain requirements that they have to fulfil with the.
Absolutely. Yeah. All early learning facilities.
What's a long day? What are the hours? Long day? Is it 6 a.m. to 6, 9
I'm not
PM?
Sure what their hours are. Most long day care centres do operate for
6 to 6.
10 to 12 hours, hence the name.
I think it's 15, something. I think they
some
go 6 to 9.
Some of them sit here all night.
Yeah.
So
you're near the factory.
24 hour, but I mean.
This couldn't be, is it?
No. I don't believe so.
Why? Okay, if there's no further discussion regarding that, we'll move on to 7.14, Bland Community Care Services update. Director Boleyn.
The information is there for the councillors. We have had some staffing changes out at community care.
You've got a new fearless leader, haven't you?
Yeah. We do. We've actually appointed person to the team leader position, and we have undertaken a secondment of an existing staff member to go out to be the coordinator out at community care, which is Carissa Burge. She's had two previous stints out at community care as the acting coordinator to keep the centre operating. So she's well aware of the requirements as far as the funding, the federal government is the funding body. So she's across what needs to be done out there. So
very good. Any questions for Director Boleyn regarding Bland Community Care Services? No? All right, move on to 7.15, the Bland Shire Museum Advisor Report.
Well, congratulations to the museum for Saturday.
Didn't they do a fabulous job?
It was really very informative, and I hope, I know you earmarked all this heritage money, but Mr. GM, that you might consider putting a fence around the Chinese graves that you're seeing that it was vandalised.
Yeah, there are.
Back in the 1950s or 60s.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was about 60-odd years ago.
Oh.
There are 50 Chinese people buried out there, so it's a significant
site.
I think what Councillor McGlynn is trying to suggest is that we put some sort of picket fence around there.
I think if you work with the Historical Society and look at an appropriate Chinese community and organise something that is more appropriately in that, rather than just going ahead and
we have to do that. Yeah.
So we might seek to find funds to.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, let's allow the staff to scope it out, try and understand what it is, what's the appropriate solution, and we can come back to you with a cost estimate, and you can work out how you're going to pay for it.
Very good.
Don't worry about that. We'll get you tomorrow.
Councillor McGlynn.
65, we've got 68
minutes. Councillor McGlynn.
Can I just say that the museum advisor, the feedback I'm getting from those organisations in actual fact is very positive, and she's doing a great job.
Yeah, that's very good. Thanks, Councillor Lord. 7.16, Technical Services Report. Mr. General Manager, I think you're the one that's going to be answering questions on this, I think, at the moment. Only for another month. So, councillors? Do you have some questions regarding roads and maintenance? I suppose you want to discuss the Quandiella Road?
No. I
was going to say, I'm not...
the
question.
Should we just get the map out and start digging?
Councillor Lord first. We'll go around the
room. The question I'm going to ask is that the areas we have state-funded roads we actually got to do the maintenance on, and they're funded by the states. Is that right? Because Golden Fields Way tomorrow seems to be able to do... is doing that right up until the edge up here.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we don't manage any of the state road network anymore. The RMCC arrangements with Transport for New South Wales, we pulled out of, I think, about 3 years ago, maybe longer. So Transport for New South Wales had to find alternative contractors to provide the service to maintain Golden Fields Way, and they engaged Tamora Shire Council to do that.
The question I ask is this, because that's main road, so the Langaria Road to Goral is part of a state-funded road that runs onto Condo, I think, as well.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that road is actually a regional road, which we maintain. We manage and maintain.
So the RMS should fund and we maintain, is that right?
If I put my director, my engineering infrastructure hat on, my position is that our people, our communities, utilise that road, and irrespective of somebody's past beliefs in who should fund it, obviously there is funding available through the state, through the Regional Roads Block Grant Program. But if there's a need for additional funds to maintain that in an ordinary year, mind you, not in the state we're in at the moment, then it's appropriate that the council seeks to find funds that might
be needed. I'm not talking about a normal year now. I'm talking about these events that are actually looking at destroying.
Well, then you're in a different area again.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, that then comes down to natural disaster funds. We put in an application in November for funding as a result of flooding back then. We then did the same in January. Transport for New South Wales agreed to bring those into the one application, if you like. And we got notice today that the disaster declaration that we sought for the event that's occurred in the last month or two, which is you could describe as ongoing, has been approved as well. So we have a considerable amount of work to do to surveil the network and determine the scope of works from all of those events. And they are all blending into one. Transport for New South Wales had a considerable amount of experience in that space in the last few years across the state. And we'll work through that progressively with them as to what the overall dollar amount and outcome is. And that includes Ungerry Road.
And the Greg's question is Quandiella a regional road or a shire road?
Shire.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's a regional road, but I can't. Give me 2 seconds. We'll just find the table that I've got today.
Well, Grant, the gentleman is just finding that. When we applied for the disaster program, I think we've had over 6 million already we had approved, didn't we? I think in the January event.
Through Mr. Mayor, the January event is 5 to 6, and I'm not sure what it was from November.
Okay.
So, yeah, it just keeps growing.
So it's at least 5 to 6 million.
That's good. We're going to need everything.
That's for a start. And then you've got other events following that.
I totally agree. Okay. I think we need to put it out that we actually, what we as a council are doing, are applying for those grants, getting funding and putting out that we are applying and trying to get these roads up to scratch.
Yeah, good.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Quandiella Road is a local road, it's not a regional road.
Yeah.
And the intention of the article in last week's newspaper was exactly to start to inform the community.
Yeah.
And give
that
them some
very good
information with regards to that.
That was a great article.
I've had positive community feedback
from
that as well.
Yeah. And good to you, Heather.
Yeah, Quandiella Road's good.
Yes, Madam
Manager. Well, I think the community needs to understand that council recognises that there's issues out there and that they're being dealt with.
Yes.
And that's what the general manager did, which was the ideal thing to do. So any further questions, councillors, regarding roads?
Right, can I ask a question? Could you tell me if the close sign is on the Quandy end?
Yes.
It should be everywhere.
It is?
Yeah.
Good. Well, that lady that went through on the smash, I have a car, good luck to her. She
well, her comment was, and I brought this up with the general manager, that what we're talking about is that there was a person that came across from Canberra with a hire car, a Toyota Corolla, and she's done damage to her car in our
shire,
in that particular area on the Quandiella Road. So we may hear something about it, we may not. But she told me that the sign that there was no sign.
Oh,
she
right.
came in. She came in on a tarred road, coming from the sounds of it from Barb Nevitt direction, and there wasn't a sign there. I've spoken to the general manager, and he has then looked at the situation. Mr. General Manager,
through you, Mr. Mayor, I have alerted the staff to inspect it, to check, but I haven't had the advice back as to whether there was.
Where did she come in from Utah Road? Did she? Where did she come in?
Yeah, she could really tell me. She couldn't really tell me this.
I reckon she's wrong. Everyone knows it.
So we're not sure what's gone on there, Council, again, but we'll find out.
She wouldn't have come in from Balm Edmund because you can't even get through Yitta Road to get the only road. Or she couldn't get through Williams's Crossing, so that's...
Well, the comment was made to me that Google Maps told her to come this route. As the
she's
shortest
just
route.
Made that.
So that was the only comment that was made. So if you Google from Canberra to West Wylam, you'll find out where she went.
You don't go anywhere near Balm Edmund.
She basically went via Barm Edmund, she didn't follow Google Maps on the short
street.
Okay, all right, we'll leave it. Are there any further questions regarding roads? Councillor Moore.
I've already raised this with the general manager as a discussion point other than at a meeting. Gurrowa Road is closed, and as far as general manager has told me, it's closed indefinitely. The damage on it is so severe. My point that I brought up with him is that's not going to stop the farmers from taking whatever detour they can find. And as I've said, I've travelled down Younger Plains Road on a regular basis, and the trucks are going to go down Younger Plains Road. There is one spot there, there's only one spot, it's 100 metres long, needs to be looked at as a matter of priority, because you're going to get trucks going through it and they're going to get rollover, they're going to get bogged. You get a truck bogged for 6 hours there while they try and get the bloody thing out, and you reckon I'm whinging, you're waiting for the farmers. It's a one section that's about half a kilometre in. That's the only section I'm interested in. The only section that I'm concerned about as a citizen. It's really is quite bad. But the Gurrowa Road being shut over harvest is going to cause, because they're going to try and go find other ways through. And also Wirra Lane, I believe, is still closed. And that also is another way they use to take a shortcut across.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The road network is in a terrible state.
Oh, everywhere.
And I don't disagree with you. I drive 200 k's on it.
Your concern has been raised with the staff, identified with the staff. The staff will deal with things on a priority basis based on what they see across the network. And at this point in time, with the continuing wet ground, it is actually more detrimental in some instances to try and address some of these things because we'll actually make a bigger problem. So everybody's going to have to be patient. I acknowledge the issue with regards to harvest. And there are going to be operators that will have to consider what they're doing. And it's a tragic situation. I get that, but I cannot change Mother Nature.
Oh, really?
So,
and I know it's going to be continuing wet up until Christmas, and this one section, it is just, I understand, and if you send someone out there, they stand there and look at it, it's a very simple, I won't tell you how to fix it, you're the engineer, but one look at it, you can see how to fix it, and remedy a lot of the problem, with less than a day's work, with a backer.
We'll take that on board, Councillor Moore.
It's been provided to staff.
Are there any other urgent matters regarding roads?
No, just the sign is up on the point of the road on the other end.
That's good.
And it's at the Shire boundary. It's not where it's traditionally been put, where you turn to go to Caracable. You go up and it's on the Shire boundary.
It's on the boundary, isn't it?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
Very good. Thanks, Councillor Clark. Councillor McGlynn, quick there.
Could you congratulate the Weeks people? Do a fantastic job. They're at every show, every dog fight, they're there, showing people what to do, and it's a fantastic outfit. They were Quandiala, they were Hungary, they're everywhere.
Okay.
Here, there and everywhere.
Very good.
There's a song about that.
Good comment, Councillor.
People did a whole big band all set up for public exhibition. Fantastic fella.
Okay. We'll move on to 7.17, Development Services Activity Report for August 2022.
Nice.
Are there comments, councillors, questions?
No. Oh, yeah, well. Oh, no. Ooh. No, that's dogs. That's a lot. Only four cats.
There aren't any? Aren't any questions? points of clarification? No?
No.
Okay. We'll move over to the reports of committees. And the only one we've really got to discuss is the Golden Fields Water County Council board meeting on the 1st of September, and Councillor McGlynn would have attended that.
I
need to adopt those reports. I'll put that motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. Now we'll move over to the reports of committees, Golden Fields Water County Council Board.
Okay.
So, Councillor McGlynn, would you like to...
Well, the only thing, the work will be finished in October, by October next year. That's the main thing. It's kids start in May.
That's our water project.
Yeah, the water project.
According to this, starting in September, is that right?
Oh, we've got the new people to start, and it's all going to go, and we'll finish at the same time, hopefully.
Great. Any questions for Councillor McGlynn, councillors?
What a business.
Hmm?
Pretty gross. So, you know, we're putting resources for regions funds into that.
We are.
And they've got the Blanchard Council, an extra 800,000. What's that one?
We had to...
That was the one we discussed.
We contributed extra funds, Councillor Lord.
Because of the changes in pricing.
And we agreed to that. That went through a council meeting, I think, a few months ago. So that was I think the cost blew out from 9.6 million out to about 12 million, Mr. General Manager?
Yeah.
Three, Mr. Mayor, that's correct.
Yeah, and so our contribution to that was that figure. And I think Golden Fields Water bore the rest of that increase. I will note, though, that the bureaucracy's taken a bit of control on that project. Mr. General Manager, would you like to make a few comments?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There are a few challenges with regards to communications and who has control and oversight of the media announcements and media opportunities, because there are three levels of government involved. So there is still some clarity being sought with regards to that as to who should be coordinating it between the three levels of government.
As long as it's Bland and Goldenfield, Holdenfield is done.
Get it done, who cares? That's credit.
Right. Are there any further questions, discussion, councillors, regarding that? If not, I think that's it. Is it? We finished? That's it. Well, I think that's it, councillors.
We need to move for a second.
The only comment I've got is that, you know, is on the mining related.
Oh, yeah, okay. What is it?
Which is the executive, and I noticed in that executive meeting, and it was adopted at the general meeting, that, you know, I'm not too happy about them endorsing, you know, these basically things like it's got, you know, they're basically eligible criteria for the resources for regions. It appears that some councils are wanting to change the regulations. So if you haven't got a mine, even though you might be over there, you can actually apply for resources for regions. That was one of the big problems we had prior, and I'm just concerned that...
So where is that at, Councillor McGlynn?
Well, I can only hear a thing that we've got a hole in the ground, forget the other two councils. It's got nothing to do with fraud, it's got nothing to do with...
And that's where I'm saying it's come being pushed from.
In 500 years' time, a million years' time, the hole's still going to be there. And so we deserve all the money, they should get nothing.
And my comment is, I think we should be speaking up more strongly and just...
So there's been applications and lobbying through group for funds to be distributed.
No, they haven't been lobbying for them. The members, the Forbes and not Condos, they're pretty good, but Forbes is applying for this fund and they don't think they're being fairly treated. But.
And that's
it's
up to the government.
In this area,
it's
always been based on where the mine is located.
Yeah.
So the mine is located completely within the Blanchard.
But they're actually writing to the government to, in actual fact, change the terms and conditions.
Mm. No, it should not happen.
And it shouldn't be endorsed, I believe, by the group which, according to the minutes, it has been endorsed by.
Did you vote against this at that meeting,
yes,
Councillor McGlynn? And it still went through?
Sort of. But they're doing it anyway. But, yeah, it did. I put up objections to it, but... but that wasn't enough.
So that has, that has ramifications for every mine throughout the state.
Absolutely. That's
wait there, let's get back to it. What happens now? What happens now? The mining world is distributed. So you build a hospital and they say anywhere, oh, that's coming. I was told that the royalties were spent, the Warra Base Hospital was a result of the royalties that came from Kalgoorlie. I mean, they're using this for infrastructure, this government. They do not give it to us alone. It's shared around. And that's the result.
I'm not worried about those extra ones, but I'm worried about the actual money that is in the Resources to Region Fund.
Yeah.
And well, look, so far, Councillor makes a valid point. The money that's been distributed within Blanshire so far, I mean, there's been over $200 million paid in royalties from the Lake Cowal mine into the state government's coffers.
$18 million a year.
No, it's not $18 million every year, but it was $18 million last year.
Yeah.
So it's over $200 million since the inception of the mine.
Mm.
Now, of that, Blanshire has really only received back of the order of $5 million, plus whatever we're getting back in this current Resources for Regions allocation. So it's a much, much smaller amount than actually goes to government.
Yeah, but where what the other councils are getting, they're getting more funds from Evolution too. They pay into those other councils.
You can lobby in that direction,
right.
But you
but
cannot.
But then the
you
other
cannot...
councils are saying that they contribute through people staying there, infrastructure, whatever.
But you can't, Councillor McGlynn. Ask the mine for consideration in that area, but you can't dictate to them.
I'm well aware of that, Councillor.
I'm not arguing about evolution here at this stage. I'm arguing effectively the policy.
Yes,
that, in actual fact, this organisation has endorsed is effectively to write to the state government to, in actual fact, to try to change the
because
terms and conditions
of
these grants. And I believe that, you know, we should be writing effectively to this mining related council's organisation.
That's a fair point, Councillor Lloyd, and I think what we'll do is we'll gather further information in this area and then come back and have a discussion about it once we've gathered that information.
Well, the discussion should happen that we write a letter to the mining related council voting saying we object to this entirely.
We'll get all the information first, Councillor McGlynn, and
then we'll
take a position as a council.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, but that's in there.
Yeah.
Right. If there's no further discussion, I think that's it for this evening, councillors.
Can I ask? We make a request.
We've got a question here.
There's another one on the re-roll.
We've already done it. I didn't get it. I got to move in a second to start with. Okay, I need a mover and a seconder for those reports.
Actually, you have another question on the rewrite one.
I'll second it.
Okay, all right. Well, did I deal with his?
There was a mover and a seconder.
There was a mover, Councillor Crowe, seconded Councillor Fennell. Councillor Law, what was your question?
The rewrite one. What was there was there's talking about the basically the solar farm construction waste is a project for, and it's got what's going on with that particularly because it's going to affect us a fair bit here with regard to re-rock. It's in the re-rock minutes.
Okay, Mr. General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That did get raised at the re-rock board meeting that we attended. And there's further work to do on it. I think it's gone to the... Is there a waste subcommittee or a waste officer or something within ReRock? Yeah. So they're looking into it.
Yeah.
It's
hopefully
been flagged as a potential issue.
There was also, as part of these solar farm developments, we asked for, requested, a short list of things to watch out for when these developments were brought into our shires as part of that meeting as well, didn't we?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure what you...
When the solar farms were being developed in our areas, there was a whole lot range of criteria they were putting out for the development process.
Right.
And we asked for a quick, a short list of things that we need to highlight, that we need to look at if we've got a solar farm coming into our area.
Yeah, but we didn't do it.
That's like ringing a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it came, so we requested, I don't think, they were getting back to us. I think ReRock was going to develop a shortlist. And it's just
yes.
so that if we get a development into our shire in terms of a solar farm, that there's a quick list of guidelines that we need to tick off and make sure that they adhere to all those things.
That's correct.
And if they haven't adhered to all those things, we made representations to stake it.
And if ReRock is part of this area that the state government has allocated as one of these areas for
solar development.
Solar development, we should have that policy right now.
Mm.
Well, they have got a policy coming through, and it is the policy they read out to us, I think, was quite onerous. And I said we need something that we can look at quickly and assess quickly, so that we can say, okay, there's a gaping hole there. Right, so that we can get onto it straight away. Because
well,
I think
we've
had
two solar farms come up. Why haven't we had any of this stuff thought about before?
Well, that's a good question, Councillor.
Oh,
that should have been in place before this. Okay, but these solar farms have just arrived and they've been rolled out in our communities,
they
and there hasn't really been appropriate control.
Like years,
through you, Mr. Mayor, both of the currently under construction solar farms are state significant development, so they came under major projects within New South Wales planning. There was an opportunity for council to provide a response on each of those under what's called this. I can only remember the acronym. It's what's called
SEARS.
Did we
ever hear about that?
I can't answer that bit for you, unfortunately, councillor.
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
I got another question there for. Is it worthwhile then putting a motion up to the local government conference effectively saying that where state significant developments are applied, effectively part of the approval is to see an endorsed VPA with the local government area concerned?
Yes.
This came up in discussions, Councillor Lord, and we made representations along those lines, I think. There was a reply, and the reply was through the general manager of Coolerman Shire, and he said there's another process. I don't know whether we can do this. He said there's a better way of doing it, better way of going about it. I can't recall exactly what
that
was.
Why don't we know about it?
Well, my comment is that there may very well be another way of doing it. If that comes up, then. What I'm saying is, can we get the Local Government Association as a motion to their conference to get a part of their policy that they, in actual fact, push VPAs on state significant developments with local governments?
Well, what we asked for initially was a tick or flip. Have you, as a list, have you discussed a VPA with the shire in which the solar farm is located? And that's when this discussion came up. The process was more involved. He couldn't elucidate exactly what the process was, but he said that there's another way of doing it.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree. It should be brought up as part of discussion with local government in New South Wales. Yes.
Well,
we
put it as a motion to the local government conference.
We could do that. We could put up a motion that
a
VPA be part of the consideration for
a
state significant project.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
jot that down.
We need some. So,
we need a motion around
yeah,
that.
I would like to.
So, what would you like that? That a VPA be considered in the locality in which the solar farm, the state significant solar farm is being approved.
No, what I'm saying is development approval of state significant developments, that they effectively make sure a VPA is in place with the local government.
Negotiated with the local government.
Well, you get into an area where you can't actually state that because it's a voluntary planning agreement.
But you know what we're saying.
And
you could say that it's been discussed. To lobby for it.
Yeah, but you could say that it's been discussed. That it's to be discussed. That a VPA is to be discussed in a state significant project.
That's correct, because it is voluntary.
Mm.
So.
Well, yeah. Let's get something shown that it's fully discussed with and has been ticked off by the local government.
Could we work around something else?
Yeah.
We'll work out some sort of representation for you, councillor. We'll work with something. Okay. All right, well, if there's no further discussion on any other matters,
I
think that's... Yes, Councillor Clark.
Is there a community reference meeting on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor, that's correct.
Can we trial the 4 o'clock start next Tuesday?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think that would be too late.
Too late,
yeah.
Okay. Second thing is it too soon? Should Lizzie be down?
It's
too soon.
No.
Then... I believe there's appropriate protocols.
At least let us wait until after the public holiday.
Yeah, we need to get a bigger picture frame because it'll be so discoloured behind that from being up there so long.
And the National Memorial Service tomorrow.
I missed it too.
No, Councillor McGinn, you may say something else.
No, I don't want it. I just want to like that meeting's finished.
Yes, the meeting is finished. The meeting is over. Thank you, councillors. Thanks.
Mr. General Manager, when we have the community reference group next week, would it be possible for everything that's discussed in that meeting to be discussed thoroughly again at workshops so that we are willing, because sometimes we get a, you know, I want your blood to the head, I want a great idea.